Hello, FB fam. How's everyone today? This is Jericho Spitz. I'm your host. Welcome to the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. Forgive me for being late tonight. A lot of running around to do. Still kind of moving right now and taking care of some personal things, but we should have the show back and running on a regular schedule and have a permanent location set up and everything pretty soon. So I just wanted to, hey, what's up, girl? Nurse, how are you? Thanks for joining the show. I've got a few people that I'd like to give a chance to join in. I'm going to post the call-in number on the in the comments right now. And you guys can call in, ask questions. The topic of the show today is going to be Jesus Christ. We did a post earlier, and we talked to a few people. I mean, we had a few people comment on a poll whether or not we wanted to make that the topic of the show tonight. So we will make that the main topic of the show. And as always, we can go on a tangent, take it in any direction we want. But for now, that's going to be the topic. Now, I know I started a little bit late tonight. Supposed to be 10 o'clock. Supposed to be 9 o'clock Eastern time, which would be about 8 Central. For my Chicago friends, but I ended up starting about 11, a little bit later than 11, so more like 11:20 tonight. Apologize for that, but for you guys that are able to tune in, that are still waiting around and still able to tune in tonight, thanks for joining the show. There is the call-in number going to be posted at 312-834-3420, and I'm putting it in the comments right now. And now I would like to ask you guys if you can just give me about, nothing. So anyway, we had hey, what's up, Vinny? Thanks for joining the show, man. So we had a video that we posted earlier. Well, we found a gentleman who was educating his audience on Jesus. And he had some things to say. Hey, how you doing, Michael Anthony Foster? I ain't seen you in a while. Good. Thanks for joining the show, man. But anyway, this is going to be a pretty powerful show, it seems like, because there's a whole lot of opinion and a whole lot of emotional beliefs surrounding Jesus Christ and whether or not he was real, whether or not he's God, whether or not he was able to manifest all the miracles that the Bible outlined that he did. And I think that this is a really interesting topic. I think that there's a lot to be discussed here. And I think that there are elements of this topic that are pertinent to higher consciousness because this man was purported to be the highest consciousness or one of the most highest consciousness human beings who ever lived. So I would definitely like to get you guys' thoughts on this, first of all. And I'd like to add my thoughts to this discussion with regard to all of the research that I've done on this topic personally. And also what my personal experience with the being named Yahshua that some of us have been fortunate enough to be in contact with in the astral plane. I can say that I do know that the name Jesus Christ is a pretty powerful name in the astral plane. So whether or not this person ever lived, I mean, you know, there's a lot of proof that, you know, there's a lot of facts that people consider to be enough proof that he did or did not live. And while I'm not here to conclude that argument, I don't believe that that's going to be the topic of the show. What my topic, you know, what the reason why I wanted to use, hey, how you doing, Drea? What's up, Beth? What's up, Jerry? Thank y'all for joining the show. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're talking about Jesus Christ tonight, and we're talking about how his life, his teachings, and what was taught about him, how pertinent those things are to, hi, Tanya, how pertinent those things are to higher consciousness. What I would like to do is have a true, honest dialogue with all of you guys about Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to be a Christian, or you can be a Christian. It doesn't really matter, because the fact of the matter is that whatever you believe about him, we do know that the legacy that he left with the words that he spoke, the teachings that, you know, are attributed to him in the Bible and in the book of Thomas and a bunch of other different apocryphal books and books that were not included in the Bible in the Council of Nicaea in the third century, but also there are other books with there are other writings and ancient scriptures that are attributed with a lot of information about him and words that were attributed to him. And I, for one, believe that there's a lot of wisdom to be gained and a lot of insight into higher consciousness to be gained from the teachings that he left. Okay, now, is there anybody, comment yes if you're watching and you listened to the video that I posted earlier with the gentleman talking about Jesus Christ. And when I put the poll and asked if you guys wanted that to be the topic of the show tonight, if anybody saw that, watched that whole video, can you please just put in the comment that you did or did not see it? Because that kind of is what I wanted the topic of the show to be about, what that gentleman was talking about. But it's looking like probably not, because I'm not seeing any comments. So I guess, well, if that's not something that everybody wants to talk about tonight, then why don't we postpone that topic until more people have had a chance to watch the video that I wanted people to be up on before we talked, had this discussion. And also, so we have a little more time to, I guess, prepare people for that topic. Because talking about Jesus Christ and heaven as a show topic is going to probably end up being a 2 or 3 hour show. There's a lot to touch on with regard to that entity, to the entity that we call Jesus Christ or Yahshua. One of the things, I guess, that I would like to talk about, since no one seems to want to dialogue about Jesus on that in-depth topic, is I've been wanting to talk lately about the specifics of manifesting and the specific techniques and methods. Is there a systematic way that you can manifest your desires into reality, and what methods, you know, have you used? What's worked for you? What have you tried that didn't work? Like, I'd like to talk about these things, because I ended up having a lot of conversations with a lot of people that come to me for help, and like a lot of them seem to not be able to recognize that they're manifesting negative things in their lives by the way that they think. And that the same way that they manifest those negative things into their lives, if they were to change the focus of their thinking from all that negativity to something positive like love and appreciation, that the things they would be manifesting in their life would tend to resonate more with and be more in alignment with love and appreciation. So you would manifest things that you would love and things that you would appreciate if you were to, in spite of being in a place that's not so love and appreciative, being able to still focus on love and appreciation for what you do have. Now, with regard to the law of attraction, there are even more specific ways to attract exactly what you want and precisely what you want, much in the same way that the prophets in the Bible were able to do, using what is called faith. And to me, what faith is, and say Hebrews 11, is the law of attraction in full effect. So when you have, you know what, let's go to, actually, let me just read something for you out of the Bible to you guys. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through, I think, 3 or 4. I'm going to read it from the New International Version just because it's a little more plain English and some people might not be so well versed in the old English that the King James Version was written in. But let's see. What we have is faith in action is the topic of of Hebrews 11:1. But it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's verse 1. Verse 2. One second. Okay, here we go. Assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What was seen, what is seen, was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, faith is getting to be a pretty powerful word at this point. And he said, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. These are pretty powerful instances that are being attached to the word faith. I want you guys to pay attention to this because we're going to get into some serious, deep, deep, deep law of attraction stuff here, you know? I want you to go back. I want to go back and I want to read Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version. I want to get that version of it because I want you to hear certain words. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now this is the verse that I'm used to reciting it like this. Faith is the substance. Now think about this. The substance of things hoped for. Let's say you hope for something. You hope for, I don't know, a new car, a new house, a new job, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, whatever you hope for. You're hoping for it, so it's a vision in your mind. It's something that you recognize that is not in your possession right now. But if you are attracting it to yourself using faith, it says faith is the substance. Substance means it's real. There is no substance that isn't real. If something is of substance, you can touch it. So if it's something that's hoped for and faith is the substance of that, what are you touching? Well, this is how I understand it, and this is how I've been able to make use of this in my life. Let's say I wanted to manifest a certain thing. I would have faith in that thing, that it's mine, and I would appreciate it. And that's what faith being the substance means. The substance means something that's real. And it can't be real if it's not appreciated. Because appreciation can't be had for something that is not real. And the very act of you applying an emotion, the emotion of appreciation, to the thing that you are visualizing and trying to attract, the very act of knowing you have that, which allows you to appreciate it, makes the universe change its gears and dump it into your lap. That's how faith works. That's how appreciation works. Are you following me? Leave a comment. Say yes if you're following me. I just want to make sure that, you know, that we're on the right track here. Okay. Okay, Tanya, I just saw that comment. Cool, cool, cool. Hey, Rachel, what's up now? Hey, everybody, I see y'all. Thank you for joining in. I'm glad you're following the show. So we're talking about manifesting right now. We're talking about Hebrews 11:1, which states that faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for. And we're talking about how to use the law of attraction, aka faith, in order to attract things to you that you're visualizing in your mind. The one thing that kills faith is fear. The fear of not having something, having no confidence in possessing it. So if you don't have it in your mind that it's yours already, then it won't come to you. You can't get it like that. It's not how it works. You have to be so sure that this is yours. And the way that you do that is to feel it. This is the way I do it, rather. I think that the best way to be able to appreciate something in your mind is to close your eyes. It's best to be in a dark room where there's pitch black darkness so that there's no light to distract your thoughts or your thought process. If you're able to close your eyes and you're able to hold the thing that you desire in your mind, and then while you're holding this in your mind, I want you to touch it, smell it, hear it, taste it. I mean, use all of your physical senses to feel and to sense the object of your desire. And while you're feeling, touching, tasting, seeing, smelling this object of your desire, just appreciate. Appreciate what it would feel, what this feels like. What does it sound like? It sounds like that. Appreciate that sound. It tastes like that. Appreciate that taste. It feels like that. Appreciate that feeling. You have to appreciate it. And the degree to which you are able to hold that vision in your mind and muster appreciation for its existence, appreciation for you having it and possessing it, the degree that you're able to do that is directly proportionate to how fast and how precisely the universe will bring this to your life. I don't care if it's something as small as a parking space, to a Rolls Royce, to a record deal, to a new job, to a new husband or wife, to a new baby, even if you're barren. There's nothing that your mind cannot create through faith. Using the law of attraction, aka faith. Because see, when you close your eyes and you're holding a vision in your mind, in your third eye, if you will, your brain, which is the catalyst for the universe delivering what you're holding in your, what you're creating and manifesting, rather, your brain doesn't know the difference between what you see with your physical eyes and what you see with your third eye. There is no difference to the brain. So if you're able to, while you're in a room full of squalor, okay, close your eyes and make all that go away and see a palace around you, if you can appreciate that palace with no fear that it's not yours, the universe has to give it to you. That's the law. That's why it's called the law of attraction, because if you obey the law, it can't be broken. And this is how all of the prophets were able to create through faith, because they knew the law. They knew the secret to the law of attraction. and they knew how to sense it in their mind and then walk away from that feeling, that prayer of thought, of feeling their thought and appreciating it. They would walk away from that, living their life as if it happened already, because they knew it had to happen, because that is the law. Are you with me now? Are we feeling me here? Hey, T.T. Tanya, hey, Remy, hey, T.T. Tanya, hey, Pam. Oh, Michael, Anthony, Foster, man, I'm glad that y'all feeling me here, man, because I'm really, really, really at a place in my life where I don't even have a need to use the law of attraction for anything specific, because I've used it enough to become so happy and perfectly happy where I'm at right now, that all I really want to do in life right now is help. All I really want to do in life right now is help other people. And I think that helping other people learn how to be happy is the best thing that I can do with my knowledge, experience, and time right now. And that's why I want to make sure that I get this show on a very regular basis, on a very regular weekly schedule. Every week at 9 o'clock, I want to have the phone lines open, and I want to get as many people involved in this dialogue and talking about this kind of thing as possible, because, you know, this world right now is just growing so rapidly, and consciousness, we are on an upward swing, you know, on that cycle. And there's a lot of misinformation out here. There's a lot of people out here that are misleading people, and like, I see so many different programs online of people charging people a ton of money for spiritual services and things like that, when a lot of that is really not even necessary, man. A lot of people just need to understand that everything that you think and do now that you consider bad programming that's led your life to be where it is now, if you're not happy, all of that you learned as a habit. And every habit can be replaced with another habit. And when you change the bad habits to good habits, which most people can do in about 17 to 30 days, you just do something different. You don't have to fight anything. You don't have to actually, it does not have to be that much of a struggle. All the struggle is in your mind. All of the struggle was fear. And when you overcome that fear with love and appreciation, that's when the magic happens. That's when the stuff that Jesus talked about can happen in your life. That's when the faith of Moses and the faith of Abraham and the faith of all these patriarchs and prophets, the faith that allowed them to break barriers and make the laws of the physical universe bend to their will, that's when these kind of things happen. So I'm just trying my best to educate people on that concept and to help people learn various ways to implement the law of attraction into their daily lives in a way that will bring about the kind of life that they want to live. And that's just for most of us, that's just the life of being happy and finding a way to be happy and healthy and whole, serving others, because that's where happiness comes in at, when you're able to be love. And when you can be love, others are being served by you, because that's what love is, service. Now, you take somebody like me who spent a great deal of his life, you know, living a hedonistic lifestyle, always made plenty of money, and I spent it on a party, you know, popping bottles and just all that kind of, you know, fun craziness, you know. But in my opinion, a lot of that was ego and taken, you know, even though I was helping a lot of people throughout my life, you know, counseling people and always kind of like helping people move towards higher consciousness as I was doing that myself. I still felt like I was a little more ego than I wanted to be, and it took me a while to overcome that. But when I finally did, I had no desire but to really help other people. And so it was really a few more years of me living a lifestyle that I had just developed a habit of living, but it wasn't really who I was. It wasn't really what I wanted to be doing with my life. And, you know, I'm really, really happy to be where I'm at right now. I'm really happy to be at a place where I don't need anything. I don't have any desire for anything other than to help other people and to find ways to use my talents, my background, my skills, my education, and my strength, my love, my determination, my courage to help you guys and to help you guys help other people. Like, how can we all help each other all grow? And the first steps of that is, man, you know, communicating about what's going on in the world and what are all of the genius ideas that we all collectively have that can come together and share amongst each other so that we can all rise together. That's what the TAC show is all about. I know this isn't supposed to be my show. This is, you know, our show. It's a dialogue of higher consciousness. And a dialogue is not just one person. That's a lecture. That's a speech. And while I can do that, I'd much rather have camaraderie with my peers and my friends and my family and just the public at large about these topics. I want to talk about the topics that nobody wants to talk about on TV and in the radio and in the mainstream media, like the things that matter to us the most. Like, first of all, one of the things that I'm really, really happy about, as you can see, there's a movement around the country to make entheogens or shamanic technology or psychedelic substances, if you will, things that different indigenous people around the world have used for millennia to access the astral plane or to have spiritual experiences, if you will. There's a movement around the United States at this time to legalize or at least decriminalize these substances that should never have been criminalized in the first place, because basically it was Christianity moving in with the Inquisition and eradicating the spirituality of all of the different indigenous cultures all around the planet. And they did that here. They did it in New Mexico. They did it in Central and South America, like with ayahuasca. They banned that in the United States for a long time until, like, back in the 50s, the Church of Unha del Dao from Brazil, they went and took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won the right to import and make and distribute ayahuasca, and they actually won in the Supreme Court case, and they've been doing that ever since. But if you were not a part of that church, it was a federal offense for you to possess ayahuasca in the United States. That should not have ever been, because you're talking about the oldest known shamanic technology pretty much on the planet, because it's pretty much documented that there's archaeological evidence that in 47,000 BC, the recipe for ayahuasca was known. That's 50,000 years ago. 50,000 years, humanity has been using this recipe for accessing the astral plane, for having connection with the goddess of the earth, Lady Ayahuasca. And after all of this time, a 400-year-old government, a baby government, a really, really, really young country, decides that in its infinite wisdom, this recipe should be banned at the threat of imprisonment? Come on, man. It's just ludicrous. But it's a very happy thing. It's a very, very blessed thing for our country that this is now being decriminalized. It's been decriminalized in Oakland, California, in Chicago, the most recent place, within less than a month ago, in October 2019, the board, they just decriminalized all entheogens in Chicago, and that's like a major, major city of over 3 million people. So I'm really, really happy to hear that happened, and I'm really, really glad to know that shamans in Chicago can now operate with impunity, resurrecting people from the dead and basically taking people who are, you know, just lost and have been programmed by a system and a culture of negativity, and being able to show them the light and helping them to reprogram their consciousnesses and helping people to get off of drugs, helping people to overcome addictions, not just drug addictions, but the addictions to violence and the addictions to all of the negativity that popular American culture has to instill into the mind of a child, or even adults. I mean, it's really kind of sad, but it's nice to see that now that the only weapons that are really able to fight this kind of negative programming are now going to be legally at our disposal. So that being said, I'm really happy to hear that that's happening now. And after that, now it looks like next week It is now, by the way, right just before midnight right now on Monday, November 18th. And it looks like next week, Congress is going to be voting to federally decriminalize marijuana in all 50 states. That is going to be landmark legislation that is going to really, really allow for the genius of the American people and all of the research labs and all of the different students who are able to legally study this now and bring their genius into all of the ways that the cannabis plant will be used to help heal America, because we are a country that needs some serious healing. And I don't just mean physically, I mean we need mental healing, and we need it fast, because we've been going down a very dark spiral with regard to Hollywood and its effect on our consciousness. The amount of violence and the amount of low vibrational sexual values, the amount of idiocy and the amount of ignorance that has just permeated our media, our news, our presidential debates are so stupid. I mean, a third grader should not probably understand everything that's going on in a presidential debate. And there is nothing happening in a presidential debate that a third grader can understand now. We've dumbed down our politics and dumbed down our TV in this country to an extent that people around the world are laughing at us on a daily basis. People think that the American public is the stupidest country on the planet, is the least educated country on the planet. And I mean, it's sad to say this as an American, but from what I'm seeing, they're probably not that far off from the truth, man, because a lot of Americans, not all, yeah, there's some geniuses out here in this country, but there are a lot of Americans who do not even care about educating themselves about what's going on in the political spectrum, how it's affecting us all. That don't care about their spirituality, they don't care about their diet, they don't care about any of the things that any sane human being should be caring about. All they care about, not everyone, but a lot of Americans only care about, you know, things that don't even matter, like sports, like reality shows, like different things on TV, like, you know, who's got the next chicken sandwich coming out, what's the next restaurant we got to go bombard and wait outside and bring tents and form lines until the next morning. Like, I mean, literally our country is turning into the most ignorant place on the planet that you can live and waste and take everything for granted. We don't recycle. We don't do anything that conscious and intelligent countries around the world, developed nations around the world are doing. Like if most Americans were to go to the city of, like, say, Berlin, and see how progressive people are there and how proactive people are there with regard to their environment, with regard to recycling, with regard to eating healthy food. They don't even allow GMOs in that country. You can't even get a bottle of Roundup in that country. There are places around this planet, man, that just make us look really, really bad with regard to their intelligence and the way that they take care of their bodies and the way that they take care of their minds and the way that they take care of their local ecology and the local ecosystems and their plant life and their animals. Like, and we don't do that. We fight dogs and we like give alligators beer. I mean, this guy just went to prison for that. He got 5 years for giving an alligator some beer. I mean, we do some of the stupidest stuff here. And I'm not saying that around the world people don't do stupid stuff. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not trying to just berate America and say that we're the worst country on the planet or anything like that. What I'm trying to say, though, is that to be at the top of the food chain, to have the most money, to have the best military, we should have the best schools. And we don't. We have the worst. We're ranked 27th in education right now. That's sad. Because, I mean, come on, man. If you got the best military on the planet, you should probably have the smartest people, right? Seems to be the opposite. We're spending way too much on military budget and way too less on education and way too much less on things that would make our future as a country brighter. Because if we don't educate our students, the young, our babies, with intelligence, while other countries like Japan and China are doing that, who do you think is going to be the leaders of the new world? Probably won't be Americans. And right now, a lot of Americans can't even fathom a time when America won't be on top, or a time when America couldn't be on top, because we've been on top for so long, but not really. We've only been in existence for 400 years, and we've only been on top a couple of hundred years of that. Not even really like 100 years. We've only been in power for like in the last century. It's not like we've been a superpower for that long. But you have most of the country here who thinks that it's impossible for us to get knocked out of that status. Like, for one, it wouldn't take much for that to happen. The only thing necessary for that to happen would be for the rest of the world to vote on a new reserve currency. And if the dollar lost its reserve currency status, we would become a defunct third world nation in a heartbeat. It would, first of all, cause a civil war that would make us eat ourselves alive and tear ourselves apart. And what's to stop that from happening? That we own the Federal Reserve? We don't, though. The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's not a part of the United States government. We don't own it. The Federal Reserve is international banksters, international bankers. That's a banking cartel that we might have a lot of influence in, but we don't own. The people who own the Federal Reserve are not United States citizens and don't really care about America. America is a tool. And I don't know how long the elite of this planet plan to use us as a tool and have us on top of the world, you know. But I mean, I think that the best thing we can be doing right now with all of the wealth in this country, instead of throwing away tons of food, we need to be feeding the world. We need to be conserving. We need to be appreciating what we have. We need to be taking advantage less and praying with appreciation more, because nothing lasts forever. The number is 312-834-3420. If anybody wants to call in, talk about any of these higher consciousness issues or topics, or if anybody just wants to call into the show and say hi, make your voice heard. If you got anything regarding higher consciousness that you want to talk about, feel free to call in. I'm going to put the number in the comments one more time. It's 312-834-3420. Hey, I see Shadow Master just joined in. What's good with you, baby? Good to see you, man. Thanks for joining the show. That's the host of the 606 Open Mic Freestyle Hip Hop that goes down every Tuesday at Subterranean in Chicago. You've been doing it for over 20 years now, and I think this is the last year. Anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out to him since I see he just chimed in, just joining the show. But another topic that I've been wanting to talk about a little bit on the show was I've been wanting to kind of get into Dr. Roger Lear. I don't know if any of you guys know who he is, but it's, if you go to Google and type in Dr. Roger Lear, L-E-I-R. Dr. Roger Lear died a couple years ago, and I mean, rest in peace. He was a really wonderful guy. He was a surgeon from California who became pretty famous around the world, especially in the UFO community, ufology community. He became pretty famous for removing these silicone implants from people. And when I tell you about these silicone implants that he was removing, I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing stuff. And it's kind of scary to a lot of people because, you know, you'd have to really go to, his website used to be, or it might still be, alienscalpel.com. And if you go to this guy's site, it'll still be there. You might be able to see the videos that he did. He actually showed live videos of him doing these, removing these silicone chips and doing the surgeries. But if you can't find it at that website, you can definitely find the videos around the internet on YouTube and stuff like that. But he was at UFO conferences, and he was outlining how he removed these things and exactly what all the information about these things that he had. Now, let me start with this. The silicone that these devices were made out of, they're really tiny triangle devices about like maybe a half a centimeter in a diameter, a half a centimeter long triangle. And they were made out of a silicone that has an isotope ratio that is not of this world. According to the best knowledge that he had at the time he was describing these things, that you had to get heat as hot as the sun in order to be able to create silicone this of this isotope ratio. That alone let me know that either we're dealing with a higher advanced civilization that may be implanting humans with these things, or our military or some military, someone with higher technology than the public knows is available today, is implanting human beings with these devices. But there's more. These devices have an FM signal going to and from them that we don't know exactly at the time. By the time he died, he hadn't figured out what these FM signals were saying. But these are transmitting something on the FM band. Not only that, the strangest thing to me about it, and the thing about it that was the weirdest, that weirded me out the most, was that these chips that were embedded inside of human beings in their bone and in their, a lot of it was in like their feet or chin, different places around the body. But the thing is that the common thread about most of the people that he removed some of these chips from was that they had all had UFO abduction experiences. Hey, what's up, Angel? Good to see you, Rome One. And Gloria joined in. Oh, I'm so happy that you guys joined the show. Thanks, man. We're talking about Dr. Roger Lear, who died a couple years ago, and he was a surgeon out in California that was removing these implants from people that were made of a silicone that had an isotope ratio that is foreign to this planet. He would take these implants out and he would send them to different universities that had these. I can't think of the exact name of the device that they use to tell you the exact chemical or atomic makeup of a device, a spectral something, something, something ometer. I can't remember the name of it. But when analyzing this, he wouldn't tell them where he got it from. He would just send this to the lab and say, hey, analyze this, tell me what it's made of. And they would send it back after they tested it and say, hey, well, where'd you get this from, a moon rock or something? Because the isotope ratio of this silicone has got to be from some other planet or somewhere, because this can't exist on Earth. So either that's from somewhere else, or it's from some military or some research lab or whatever that has a technology that the public here doesn't know exists, because it's higher technology than we have today. There's an FM signal coming to and from these devices. And out of all the people that he removed them from, they had all had UFO or alien abduction experiences or memories or dreams about this kind of thing. And then they'd wake up and they'd be like 6 hours gone and they don't know what happened. So what he would do is he would bring them in the lab, x-ray them, and then he'd see these chips somewhere in them, and then he'd go to remove it. Now, let's talk about the removal of these devices. And this is the weird part that made me really start looking into this. So if you were to take a BB, just a little piece of metal, and you were to like stick that into your skin somehow, if a BB was to get shot into your skin and it went into the meat of your hand, say, for example, your body would start to build a membrane around that metal. If you didn't like take it right out, you know, if it got, you know, the wound healed and it was inside your body would build a membrane around that to protect your body from that foreign object. The problem with this situation is that there is no membrane built around these objects. Your body is not rejecting these objects. And as a matter of fact, not only is it not rejecting them, these items seem to have nerve endings attached to your nervous system and to the device. And so when he went to try to remove these devices, people would start reacting violently. Patients who were under anesthesia and unconscious would begin to flail and go crazy as they tried to remove the device from inside people's bodies. Now, another really, really weird thing was that these things would be inside, say, someone's hand, the bone in someone's hand, for example, and there would be no scar tissue whatsoever. So how these devices got into someone's body in the first place is the biggest mystery. There is no scarring tissue anywhere. Not only is there any scarring tissue nowhere, but the body is not rejecting this foreign object as it would anything else. So the technology that is being used to get these implants into people is some technology that's beyond what the public of the planet knows about today, because no one else knows how to do that. Now, if anyone wants to look into this topic further, I would suggest you go to Google or whatever search engine you prefer and type in quotation marks so you get the exact phrase, Dr. Roger Leer, L-E-I-R. He died a couple years ago. He was a surgeon from California, and this guy has a ton of videos online where he's at UFO talk conferences and in videos where he's actually removing these things live on video. He filmed his actual he filmed his operations where he's removing these implants from people. This is really, really serious stuff here. So what I'm saying is that I think, and what this might have to do with talking higher consciousness and why I'm bringing it up on the show is because I think that according to what Dr. Roger Leer thought, he believed that there's somewhere between 1 and 3 million Americans that probably have these implants in them. So I'm saying that to say that if you think that you've had any kind of time missing out of any of your days where you're like, you know, you wake up and you're at the mall and you don't know how you got there and you don't remember the last 8 hours. I've heard a few of my friends, a few people talk about something like this happening. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to go get an X-ray, get your whole body X-rayed and see if there's any foreign objects in your body. And if there's a foreign object in your body, see if there's anybody that picked up on Dr. Roger Leer's research and is doing this kind of thing and removing these, because I mean, I never got to the bottom of that subject and I never found out what those implants were. I just know that according to the latest that he was putting out before he died, this is probably some high technology from either some other civilization that has higher technology than we do, or some military, maybe it's our military, or maybe it's some other military, or maybe it's some other group, but someone who has technology that the public on this planet doesn't know about, because no one else knows how to do this kind of thing. How do you get a piece of silicone into a body without any scarring, and it's, and there's no membrane built around it to defend the body against harm from that device? Instead, your body is, your nervous system is connected to the device, and the device is submitting it and receiving it an FM signal. To me, that's just crazy. And I don't know how many of you guys knew about that, but I just wanted to bring it to the attention because it's something that I want to learn more about. And I don't know if anybody else heard anything about this or been following up on it or studied about it or anything like that, or know anybody who's been involved in this at all. But if you do, please call into the show and give your account, because I want to know more about this, and I feel like the world needs to know more about this, and that's why I brought it up. So enough about that. Check out Dr. Roger Leer if you want to know more about the situation. That's all I really know on the subject, but it's definitely an interesting topic to get in. Another thing that I'd like to talk about that I brought up before, and I kind of want to get a little more into, is the fact that water carries memory. And water is going to be, it seems, the new cloud, the new way that computers, AI technology, et cetera, are going to be storing data. That, excuse me, that is a very interesting topic for one. And not only is it a very interesting topic, but it's something that, we all need to learn more about, because if your body is water and all water holds memory, then there may be a lot more information that you could be learning about your own self, your own body, your spirit, your DNA, your family, your history, your karma. There's a lot that you could be learning from the water that makes up who you are if you're 80% water, and water holds memory. So, hey, what up, Lucky? Naftali, good to see you, man. Thanks for joining the show. I'm glad you could come through. Gloria, I just saw your comment, electromagnetic spectrometer. That's what it's called. I knew it was something, something, something spectrometer. I just couldn't remember exactly, but thanks for updating us on that. But that is, the electromagnetic spectrometer is the device that the universities have been using to analyze the implant chips that Dr. Roger Leer was extracting from people who have claimed to be abducted by UFOs. And I mean, I don't know how much you take testimony and evidence into account before you push things off, but I think that listening to what Dr. Roger Lear has to say is not a bad idea if you're interested in this topic, because the guy was not some, you know, he was not some crackpot scientist or crackpot doctor. He was a legitimate, very well-respected doctor. This guy is, you know, he was very, very thorough in his research and his experiments, and then everything that he did was very, very well documented on the books. He knew what he was doing. He was one of the tops of his field. Very well-respected guy. And I mean, if you, what up, Jamie? Jamie, good to see you, man. Thanks for joining the show. But I definitely suggest you guys check him out. Google Dr. Roger Lear, or even maybe go to his website, alienscalpel.com, and see what he's got to say. I think you guys would be very interested in what he's talking about. That was my first thought, as always, that, you know, when someone who's doing something that goes against the grain, or someone who's doing something that's exposing anything that a government might be doing, anything like that, and then they end up dying, especially if they die young. My first thought is usually that they get murdered. But you know what? I mean, he was a little older guy. He was probably pushing 60, if not a little older than that. I'm not sure exactly how old he was when he died. But, I mean, he could have died of natural causes. But I'm not 100% sure on that. I haven't heard anybody, any whistleblowers or anything like that, come out and say that he was murdered. But, you know, people can cover stuff up really, really good these days. And our media has been bought and paid for a long time ago. So I really don't know about that, but it's actually a really good question to ask. You know, I would like to know more about it, and that's why I'm bringing this topic up on the show, because I want to make people aware of Dr. Roger Lear and his work. And if anybody, you know, is able to do any research that brings to light anything that we haven't mentioned on the show, please feel free to bring it to the light. Post it in our group, THC, Talking Higher Consciousness on Facebook. Post it in the group. Call in on the next show or leave a comment on the next show and just let us know about it. I mean, that's what this is about. This group, this dialogue is for all of us. This isn't my, you know, talk. This is not supposed to be just a speech with me talking for an hour or two. This is supposed to be all of us, you know, having a discussion, a dialogue about what's going on in the world and how we can all achieve higher consciousness together by helping each other out with the best information out here, the best methods, the best new teachers, the best new information. I mean, the best new methodologies. All grow and become better. How can we all raise our consciousness? That's what the show is all about. So I appreciate any and all help that any of you assist us with in that process. Another thing that I wanted to talk about, well, we were talking about water being what 80% of our bodies are made of and how that holds memory. And so there's a doctor, there's a scientist in Japan. I don't know, most of you probably have heard about him by now. He was doing these experiments to prove, this is absolute empirical evidence, repeatable studies. This is real, actual, factual science now. This guy did a lot of photographs of frozen water after he had used consciousness to alter the water with love and with hate. He would take two jars, identical jars, with water from an identical source, which by all accounts, the water, the molecules in both jars of water should look the same. But he would write, "I hate you," on one jar and focus hate on the jar for 5 minutes and tell the water, "I hate you," and this and that. And then on the other jar, he would do the same thing, but the opposite. He would write, "I love you," on the jar. And then he would like focus on love and appreciation and joy and say beautiful things to the jar of water. And he would do that for 5 minutes. And then he would freeze the jars and he would take pictures of the molecules of the water. He would put this water under a microscope and take pictures of what the molecules look like. And the ones that were love were all beautiful and perfectly symmetrical. And the ones that he said, "I hate you too," it was really jagged and ragged and ugly looking. And this is over and over and over and over and over and over. And other people have been repeating these experiments all over the world and getting the exact same results. So that being said, this is empirical, undisputable evidence that your consciousness can change matter, can change the molecular structure of water. And that's just water. We don't know about other elements and other different substances. But if it can change water, if your thoughts can change water by just saying, I love you to it, or I hate you to it, what would happen to your body if you said, I hate you to it, or I love you to it, if your body is 80% water? Think about this. We're not talking about what if. We're talking about it is a fact. It is a fact. Let me repeat that. This is not any speculation. This is not anyone's opinion. This is repeatable scientific evidence and study after study after study by various scientists all over the world and independent thinkers and independent researchers and just normal everyday people that are doing this experiment, because anybody can buy a telescope and do this experiment. And after all the hundreds and thousands of whatever people all over the world have done this experiment and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that your thoughts can affect the molecular structure of matter, of water. The molecular structure of water changes with your love or hate of the of those molecules of that water. This is fact. So now, if that's a fact, what happens to your body when you tell your body, I love you, body? Or when you tell your body, I hate you, body? When you direct negative energy at yourself in the mirror, when you direct negative energy looking down at your body, or directing negative energy at any body part, oh, I hate my stubby fingers, or oh, I hate my legs, or oh, I hate my hands, or oh, I hate my boobs, or oh, I hate my butt, oh, I hate my hair, or if you say, oh, I love my face, or I love my nose, or I love my shoulders, or I love my whatever, what goes into effect with your body when you give these kind of emotional thoughts to your body? This is I want to make this the topic of an entire show. We can do a whole show on this, because I think there's a lot to be said about this, and I really, really want to know more about this myself. Hey, Armando, thanks for joining the show, man. Good to see you, man. Good to see you too, Jamie, man. I'm glad y'all chimed in, man. But I really want to know this, man, because I know that the law of attraction is your ability, allows you to use your mind to change what's happening in this universe. And the universe will change and bend and give you whatever you want if you know how to use the law of attraction correctly. So when you use the law of attraction with regard to your body, when you say, I love you to your body, what happens to your body? What happens to the molecules of water in your body when you tell it you love it? I want you to start experimenting with that and stop saying things to your body like, or to your mind, or to you in general, that, oh, I hate when I do that, or I hate myself, or I hate my feet, or I hate this. That hurts you. And I'm not saying this is an opinion. It's a fact. 100% scientifically proven in experiments all around the world that your thoughts affect water, and the molecular structure of it changes based on whether you love it or hate it. So start loving your body, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. Love it, and you'll make it better. According to the science that we're seeing today, what I'm seeing right now is a fact. And I would love, love, love to have a dialogue with as many of you as possible about this. I'd love to know what you guys think about this. Have any of you experimented with any of this? I know a good friend of mine, Monique, has. I know that she talks to her body a lot and tells her body, everybody, part of it. I love it. She's been really, we've been dialoguing about that a little bit. And I really want to know what you guys think about that, and what you guys end up having as results if you start to do this. But look into the Japanese, I think, scientist who was, just go to Google or YouTube and type in consciousness changes water, and watch what you come across. There's videos after videos after videos where people are doing these experiments. And I mean, if you have a microscope, please do this experiment yourself. Video it. I'll post it up in the group. We can have a watch party. I would love to know that. I would love for more of us to know that this is real, because the more people that know that your mind can change the molecular structure of your body, the more of us are going to be using our mind to heal ourselves. You want to know how placebo works? Most doctors know that 85% of healing that takes place, even with modern medicine, is placebo. 85% of what goes on as far as healing on this planet is placebo. Let me say that one more time. Placebo means your mind healed you because you thought you were taking medicine, but you weren't. You were taking, say, a sugar pill or a salt pill or no pill, but you thought you could be healed. And the thought that the hope that you could be healed healed you. That's what placebo is. And doctors are saying, doctors know that 85% of the healing on this planet that goes on is placebo. So that means to me that 85% of the healing that goes on is because your mind knew you would be healed. So what about this are we missing here? Your mind can heal your body. Your mind can heal your body. So there's no reason for you to be sick. If you are sick, then it's because you forgot that your mind can heal your body. So why don't we all do a little bit of research about this for the next week or so? And next Monday, we're going to do, I'll be actually broadcasting from Chicago. Let's do another THC show next Monday. And that entire show on Monday, the 26th of November, which is, oh, snap, that's my mom's birthday. Oh, I might not be able to do the show until like midnight that night. But either way, we're going to get it done. And I want to, I'm sorry, not the 26th, the 25th. That's not my mom's birthday. So Monday, the 25th of November, 2019, we're going to do a show. The entire show is going to be about using your mind to heal your body, which is 80% water. We're going to show, we're going to talk about that doctor, his name, hold on 1 second. He's a scientist. Tell you his name, changes water. Watch this. His name is Masaru Emoto. Masaru, Masaru Emoto, Emoto. And he was born July 22nd, 1943. He died in 2014 on October 17th. He was a Japanese author and scientist who said that human consciousness has an effect on the molecular structure of water. His experiments proved it. And now he has a following all around the planet of people doing these experiments, recording these experiments and posting them online. So you cannot go online and not find examples of this experiment being successfully completed around the world. Now, all you have to do to have the belief that you can heal yourself is to see the scientific evidence, see the proof that it happens. If you don't see that evidence, then you probably won't be able to have it as a fact in your mind that healing with the mind is possible. If you don't see the evidence, then it's going to continue to be a ludicrous thing to you that placebo healing is real. And only someone in the medical field who has seen placebo healing take place would even know that that's real. So if you don't know, get on Google, do the research. If anything in your body is not feeling the way you want it to feel, if anything in your body is unhealthy, do you know that you have a God-given right to heal that by only thinking and knowing that you are whole? It's not that difficult. It's really not that difficult. I would go so far as to say that you can reverse aging if you know it can happen. But you know what? I'm a little radical in my thinking. Maybe I'm crazy here, but I can promise you this. I feel and look pretty good for 43, and I hope I'm 70, 80, still playing basketball with 21-year-olds, but, you know, hey, we'll see. So Gloria said, this is why people who love themselves appear more beautiful to others. Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I think that beauty is in my eyes, so it's not always something that can be quantified or that can be verified, but in general, as a rule, most of the most beautiful people that I know in my life that I consider to be beautiful are people who really love themselves. And I don't even believe that people can love other people until they learn how to love themselves. So if you're loving other people, then you probably know how to love yourself and that makes you beautiful in my eyes. But I'm a weirdo. So anyway, it's been just over an hour. And while I can keep the show going, if anybody wants to continue talking about anything, I definitely have had a very long day and I could use a little bit of Z's. I will be heading up to Chicago next week. And we will be shooting broadcasting the next THC show on the 25th of Monday, next Monday, 25th of November, the Halloween special. I'm sorry, the Thanksgiving special we will be doing, broadcasting from Chicago. And I might have a guest on the show, a surprise guest that I think some of you guys might be wild about, if he decides to be on the show. His story is phenomenal. And you're not going to believe it, but it's pretty awesome. And you talk about a use of the law of attraction saving someone's life. This is amazing. And I hope that he comes on the show. We're working on solidifying that and confirming that right now. So I don't see any more comments or any questions or comments, anything. So I think I'm going to just go ahead and wrap the show on up. Tell your friends to go to thethcshow.com. And to favorite it and to bookmark it in your browser and to tune in every Monday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I'll try to announce in the group if I'm ever going to be late on starting the show. Another thing is I think I'm going to start going live a little more regularly. Like I'm going to do the podcast, the show every Monday live, but I'm also going to start doing live, just random posts in the group where I go live and just start talking and inviting people to have conversations about whatever's on my mind throughout the day as I come across topics that are involved that are regarding higher consciousness. Thanks, Armando. I appreciate the comment, man. I'm glad that you think this is good work that I'm doing. I think so too, man. Like I said, you know, this is really not about me. It's really about just holding the space for all of you guys to come together and join me in a topic every week, you know, regarding higher consciousness. And I want to hear what you guys all have to say about the different things that we're talking about too. You know, I do have a lot of background, a lot of education, and a lot of knowledge and wisdom to share on a lot of different topics, but I'm not trying to be everybody's guru. I'm not trying to say I'm Mr. Know-it-all, and I'm not trying to ever discount anybody else's opinions or knowledge on anything. I'm here to discuss, dialogue, debate, whatever is necessary to help us all rise and gain insight into how to be better. And how to be better people and how to love people, how to be more tolerant, how to rise, how to be more light. Like these are the things that I created this show and this Facebook group to foster higher consciousness. So anybody that's in this group that wants to be a bigger part of this, that wants to help with the podcast or help with the group, you can always use another admin or two that's, you know, to help to moderate stuff. I'm now going to stop posting the episodes of the show on YouTube because it seems that YouTube is going to start shutting down and deleting pages that they don't consider to be commercially viable. So I'm not going to waste my time when I know that my show is not really supporting the agenda that YouTube and Google would like to support, which is more of a globalist, dumbed down kind of media kind of thing. You know, if I put some stupid shit together, they don't have any idea. I mean, they don't have any problem, you know, supporting that and monetizing that channel. But if you do a channel trying to raise people's consciousness, they're not really going to support that. They don't consider that commercially viable. And it wouldn't surprise me if they delete my Jericho Spitz channel any day now, just because, you know, of the THC show being on there. And I'm talking about topics that the mainstream media won't touch. So that being said, I am on anchor.com. If you go to thethcshow.com, it will take you to, the podcast dashboard, so to speak, not dashboard, but the podcast hub, where you can go and check out all of the different platforms where you can listen to the THC Show. So if you either go to the thcshow.com, when it should take you to Anchor, ANCHOR.FM, anchor.fm/thethcshow. If you go to there, that's where I've monetized the THC Show through various podcast sites. So you can go there and listen to the pod. You can go there and get the links for either for the podcast for the THC Show on Breaker, breaker.audio, also for google.com/podcasts, for the podcast, for Pocket Cast, PCA.ST. Then you have Radio Public or play.radiopublic.com. We're on there now. We're also on Spotify. You go to Spotify and type in the THC Show with Jericho Spitz, and it'll come up. All the episodes that we do all show up on there. We're on Stitcher. You can get on Stitcher.com and check out the THC Show on there. But basically, if you can't remember or want to find the exact links on any of those platforms where you can listen to the THC Show, I would suggest going to anchor.fm/thethcshow and finding which platform you're on, which one works for you, and definitely go to that platform and listen to all of the episodes on there. We do get a few pennies per listen on there, so that is the best way to support the THC Show right now. You can get a subscription. You can support our podcast at anchor.fm/thethcshow by $0.99 a month, $4.99 a month, $9.99 a month, and I'll get up to 13% more per dollar if you use the $9.99 per month subscription rate. But you do have to subscribe. This is for people that want to contribute a monthly amount to just basically support this podcast. Your donation helps sustain future episodes. It helps me to keep the show on the air. It helps me to keep you guys informed. It helps me to do a lot with the show. So that being said, support the show. Go to anchor.fm/thethcshow. Or just go to thethcshow.com and it should take you there. Either way, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining the show. And if there's no other comments or anybody doesn't want to call in and say hi, then I'm going to end the show right now. I hope to see you guys next Tuesday on Monday the 25th at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thanks, everybody, for joining the show. And tell your friends about it. And I hope to see you guys soon. I'm Jericho Spitz, signing out. Peace.